Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Greetings, loves. Welcome to the DTFH. Before we get going with this episode, I want to apologize. You know, I was looking at the Daryl Cooper comments and some people were like, what the fuck with the ads? And, you know, I looked at that and I'm thinking, come on, relax. Like, really? It can't be that bad. But it was. It really was. We didn't realize that YouTube had automatically put ads like every 2 minutes. I can't believe the number of people that watched that thing. And I'm so sorry about that. We just didn't know. So we've fixed that. So if you like dropped out of that episode, which was one of my favorite episodes of the show, because you're like, I'm not going to get stroboscopic ads from you, you greedy fuck. We fixed that. Now there's only 32 ads versus 796. Also, if you are being distracted by the ads, don't forget you can become a member of this channel and you will have ad-free episodes. If you're listening to this and you like the audio version, go to patreon.com/DTFH to get ad-free episodes over there. I got shows coming up. Please come see me if you're listening to this the week of April 19th. I'm going to be at Meow Wolf Denver Convergence Station. There's an awesome festival happening there. All the links you need to find that are at duncantrussell.com. At April 24th, I'm going to be at the Capitol Hill Comedy Bar in Seattle, Washington. Now, I don't know what's going on with this. Somehow the name of this venue seems to have changed. So if you go on my website, it's going to say Emerald City Comedy Club. So I don't know what's going on exactly here. It's a little confusing, but just go to emeraldcitycomedy.com. You can find tickets for that, Seattle, and I'm excited to see you. I haven't been to Seattle in a bit. Then I'm going to be at the Comedy Zone in Greenville. That's May 9th. And then I'm going to be at Wise Guys in Vegas, May 15th. And then in June, I'm coming back home to the Comedy Mothership, June 6th, 7th, and 8th. Now, everybody, get ready for a wonderful podcast with one of my dear friends. Ian Fidance is such a cool guy. He's so brilliant and funny. And yeah, I know the subway thing that you guys are probably all thinking about, the trouble he got in recently, might make you not want to dive into this. But I'm telling you, the story you've heard about the New York subway event is not what happened. And I invited Ian on the show to set the record straight about what happened between him and the body and all that. So if you please have an open heart and open mind and just know that sometimes the media slants things. And everybody, please welcome to the DTFH, Ian Fidance.
Bend me over, spank my ass, and bend me over, spank my ass, and bend
me. Don't forget the lube.
No, I don't use lube.
Fuck me dry and slam it in.
Fuck me dry and let's play in. Yeah, fuck me dry and let's play in.
Sponsored by Pure Moods.
Sail away, sail away, sail away.
You know that fucking song?
Played all the time in the rehab I went to? Yes.
Oh, God. And you know, that song, you listen to it, and at first you're like, oh, so I really do like this when it first came out. And then you realize, like, this is like the most classist fucking song.
What?
That is
how?
Josh, can you pull up the lyrics to Sail Away?
Wait, make sure it's Sail Away and not that song that's like, sail! Boom, boom, ding, ding, ding.
Enya, Orinoco Flow.
Wait, what's that Enya song that's like, who must sing on Ningona?
Listen, from Bissau to Palau in the shade of Avalon, from Fiji to Tyree in the Isles of Ebony.
She's just bragging about what cruises she goes on.
That's what I'm saying. No one can do this trip.
What?
No one does that trip. No one can do the in-year trip.
I don't have that much money.
This is
from the north to the south. Do you know how many miles it's going to take on my Delta card?
This is Jeff. This is what Jeff Bezos' wife is saying where they're going.
This is her soundtrack.
And then we're going to Bali and then Cali and then we're going to go beneath the coral sea.
What is this like? Spit on the help. What?
Spit on the help.
Oh my God.
Slap the nanny and then go to Hawaii. Josh, could you please pull up a man has sex with corpse on New York subway?
I was in a bad spot. Okay. And I've apologized.
Listen, I'm having you on the show because I want you to like not be canceled.
Thank you.
And I know that your angle on this is different than what people think. And it's easy to misunderstand a thing like that.
And it's tough when the story gets out there and I can't control the narrative.
Now, first of all, I want to say your disguise. Okay. Autopsy on corpse that was sexually violated on NYC subway train, unable to determine cause of death. So, but before we get
I have an idea.
Okay, now you can cut that. The victim was already dead when an unidentified necrophiliac had sex with his corpse at the Whitehall Street Station on April 8th. So, now, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now, because I think a lot of times people get caught up in the past, and this happened on April 8th. That might have. Was well been a million years ago because what is time? It's a construct. So
it's a flat circle,
as you say. And so since then, I mean, we talked on the phone, and you were telling me some things you're doing to make amends for.
Yeah. First of all, I'm in Austin, and that's very cool, and I'm happy to be here.
Yep.
I am going to be staying here for a little while.
Yep. So you moved to Austin.
I'm just tired of New York. It's a lot.
But I'm saying more specifically, like, you know, the obviously people are shocked because they thought of you as many things, but they probably didn't think of you as a necrophiliac.
Right.
But
I'm doing a documentary on Norwegian black metal.
Okay.
There you go. And so that is kind of a part of that genre is necrophilia. And, you know, I don't know if you know, like, black metal, like, in the 90s, they were setting churches on fire.
Yeah, I do know that.
And so I am down here doing a little research. I might want to dive in to get some of the project going again.
I think, Ian, maybe you're missing the forest for the trees here. People, when they hear that you, and I'd love to hear exactly what happened there. Maybe you just tell the story. So you're on the subway.
I'm on the subway.
And you see a dead body.
Yes. And I mean, a lot of times, you know, when someone gets R'd, they go, what were they wearing? You know, like they deserve it. This guy was just sitting there.
Well, I mean, he's
what are you supposed to do?
He's dead.
I thought it would be funny to, I had a friend on the train, and I thought it'd be funny to grab the dead guy's dick and be like, oh, you know. And,
so, okay. So this was, see, now this is the lamestream media.
Yeah.
Well, not, when I'm reading this article, there you are in your disguise.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm reading this article, what I don't see is a mention of like, you know, this was like.
No, they get it wrong.
It's like a funny moment.
Elon said comedy was legal again, and then you go and do some prop comedy, and then I'm the asshole.
Boom. And then they turn on you.
Yeah.
So, okay, now I think people are probably, I can already feel it in the ether. People are like, ugh, fooled again by the media. So you.
It's a bit.
You're on the subway. You see a corpse. And
what would you do?
Well, I mean.
You're underground. You can't call 911.
Honestly, I don't think I'm as funny in the moment as
you are. With your bros. You're laughing. You're having fun.
I think I'd freeze up because, you know, I think there's so many funny things you can do in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And
another thing I did, and they say it's defiling, but I thought again, like, you know, when you put someone's arms behind your back and then you put your arms through them.
Yeah.
And then you are the arms.
Yeah. Puppet
yeah,
play.
I did that. And I thought it'd be funny. Like, I'm going to jerk off and finger my own ass. And then again, it's like, I'm the jerk off.
You weren't the one who fingered. You just
puppeteered
the corpse.
Yes. Like, isn't that funny?
Guys,
if a guy was dead and like. You know,
verifiably funny. Old school funny. The funny
I'm a zombie.
We lost this level of funny. This used to be the 80s.
Yes.
In the 80s, Chevy Chase did that.
Yes.
I think. Didn't he do that too?
It's not like I put a hole in a wall at a girl's gym and then I look through with my buddies and went on a quest to lose our virginity.
This is old and I'm sorry this is dated, but there was this a very funny movie called Caddyshack with a comedian most people aren't familiar with anymore, and then Jim Belushi. And
Jim Belushi? He was in Caddyshack?
John Belushi.
Jim Belushi. He was in Caddyshack? Or your Animal House?
Animal House. So I'm getting my hilarious movies. What Animal House and Caddyshack both have in common is they were created by National Lampoon.
Yes.
But also what they have in common is in Caddyshack, Bill Murray apparently found a corpse in the forest. And they found Bill Murray, like, I don't know, he's putting clown makeup on the corpse or something, which is, but John Belushi in Animal House apparently found two corpses. And he did a whole human centipede thing. And that is where they got the idea from Human Centipede.
Dude, Bill Murray is my be all end all of comedic actors. And to know that I didn't even know that, and I instinctually go to defile corpse under the guise of humor is like.
It feels good.
It feels good, and it feels bad that people just got it wrong with me. Like, people they just hear defiling corpse necrophilia, and it's like, dude, also, when I had the arms behind him, and I was like, oh, I'm jerking off, I put my dick in his ass, and I went docking engaged, like I was controlling, you know, like an alien is like, this is how I control a body, you know?
Yeah, docking
it's
engaged.
It's funny.
Docking engaged.
Docking engaged.
Oh my God.
I'm in control.
Your friend must have been laughing their ass.
Oh my God. Yeah. And I'm waiting for him to fucking come out my defense. But it's like people are so scared of getting canceled. Nobody is willing to go to bat for anyone anymore.
I guess.
It's disgusting.
Okay. Look, I think now, I mean, I've already talked to you about this. And so, you know, this is why I invited you on the show. But I guess the last thing to address is that you took his penis home.
That's funny. Like, now I have a prop at home. Use it as a thumb.
Right.
Hey, what's up? Oh, you got my thumb. No, it's a dead man's penis.
Okay.
Egg on your face.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, this.
And clearly I had to take it with me to Austin because apparently they're searching my apartment, which I've been looking on my cat cam.
There's a manhunt.
My cats are fine. Yeah. Like I said, I'm chilling down in Austin, doing Moon Tower, blah, blah, blah. Life is life. Just going
just
along.
Trucking, keep on trucking.
I'm not going to let my past define me. And I'm not going to let
it was
things
like,
that happened in my past.
How many days ago was that?
It was not even 10 days ago.
100
People
years.
People change.
100 years.
And I'm not going to let that dictate my actions in the future. So it's just life moves on. And so I'm moving on. And I'm looking for apartments here. And, you know,
anybody got an apartment? Perfect.
Well,
tenant.
I know in the past you have offered to let me crash at your place.
Unfortunately,
and I was hoping that
that
offer was still on the table.
I totally forgot to tell you this, but the
do you know how funny it would be if we were at dinner with your family and I was like, "This isn't sausage; it's a dead homeless man's penis."
Yeah, no, I mean that is.
He's loving it.
Everyone's loving it.
It would make your kids giggle.
We blow up YouTube with the joy.
And then I'll just put it back in my pocket where I keep it.
Dude, listen. I had a talk with the bank who gave us the mortgage. And I guess there was a thing in the mortgage. I didn't even know it was there. And I didn't even know that this was a thing you could do. I thought when you bought a house, you could just anyone who wanted to come and stay could stay. But yeah, apparently, for 2 more years, only our family is allowed to stay in the house, and that sucks. Or you know,
that's weird. That's the house. What about where you record? And
this is where I record. Josh would probably let you stay here.
Is that cool? And then I could just do sets at Black Rabbit.
There we go. Yeah.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go.
In this back room right over here.
Oh, dude.
There you go.
Thank God. Because I came down here. I didn't have a plan. I only have a bag.
God. And dude, think how cool that would be if like that could be a selling point for Black Rabbit is there's like a real, you could like a sideshow. before the show, like, and now the necrophile.
And also
with your fit with
the
dick.
The Rainy Street Ripper's still running around.
You guys should
meet. Like fresh supply.
You guys should meet.
It's like if you think the penis gag with the homeless guy on the subway is funny, what do you see what I do with a dead corpse of a twink that went out to a gay bar and then he got killed by a man who's killing homosexuals because he's secretly homosexual?
It's so cool.
It'll be funny.
It's so cool. Austin has become such a hotbed for comedy.
Yeah.
It's just
this is
thing.
The place
like,
to be.
We had the Rainy Street. Now we got you. It's like, who's next? There's so many great comics that are probably going to come here. I mean,
the mothership's like across the street. I've been going there every day just asking Rogan if I can go on and tell my story, you know, wag, wag, wag.
Well, you know, I think the problem, a lot of comedy.
He has a lot of security guards that are like big, strong. And when I went, hey, let me in, I tapped the penis on his chest. They didn't like that, but.
Well, it's not that they didn't like it. It's that, again, like, because we live in essentially a police state.
Yeah.
There are, like, laws saying that you can't disfigure a corpse.
Yeah, but I'm keeping it on ice. It's not like it's, like, decaying.
Dude, listen, you're preaching the choir here. Like, but I'm just,
I mean, I thought that was a place where it's like no holds barred funny. And I'm like, I could do the penis wag thing there. Cell phones are in a bag.
People like you are pushing back and it's working.
Yeah.
I feel like we're a year, 2 years away from any comedian being able to carry around a penis
severed.
In their pocket, a severed penis. Thank you. Yeah. I feel like we're close to what we had.
I mean, this is the same conversation people have with Kaufman.
Oh, I know. He loved that.
It's like I'm doing like the Tony Clifton. Like, I'm not really a necrophilia that goes around and fucks dead people under the guise of humor. I'm a guy that's doing high concept art, and it's like I'm suffering for it, but you know.
That's
whatever.
Why I'm having you on. Look.
No, I appreciate it.
You know,
man.
the
people just don't want to have conversations anymore.
You know, the squirting flour on the lapel thing? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what that used to be before history got whitewashed? That used to be a baby penis. And you'd be like, do you want to smell my baby penis? But
ow.
Oh no. Oh God, that sucks when you do that. Okay. But I like when joking aside, that news story.
Yes.
The first, like, I did think of you, not that you did it, but I did because you're one of my friends in New York.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, like, in Hinduism, they say the era that we're in right now is called the Kali Yuga.
The age
of disintegration. And I can't think of a more age of a disintegration moment. Then, and I don't know, maybe as the story comes out, the guy actually killed the corpse, but I'm guessing the corpse is like, somehow they were able to distinguish that this corpse wasn't murdered by this dude. But, so I'm just thinking, like,
okay, only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first, there, the last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Thank you. Did that necrophiliac think to himself in that moment when he
Freebie.
Saw the corpse? He's like, holy shit. I just started reading The Secret.
This is the stars are aligned.
But you know what I mean? Like you, when you
yeah, but if you take this news story and then you tie it in with everything else that's going on, and did you watch that Netflix documentary about the kid influencers?
Not yet. It's I don't want to watch it.
It's truly, truly evil.
So tell me about it, because I hate watching, now that I have kids,
yeah,
watching shit like that's scary.
It's a psychotic mom that was basically dolling up her daughter to make the ex-husband jealous. Like, look how successful the daughter is without you. We're succeeding without you. Ugh. And then it turned into, she basically like media trained the daughter from birth to be good on camera. And then scouted out this girl's friends and family, like cousins, to live in a content house as kids and make content. And then off camera, the kids are crying and it's like, no, do it again. And then at the same time, the majority of the people watching this content are fucking pedophiles.
Right.
And the mom doesn't care because it gets clicks and likes. It's like, that is what's more evil, fucking a dead corpse or pimping out your children for likes, clicks, and shares, and robbing them of their childhood so that they can be involved in this nefarious era of narcissism and me. Yeah. And then that kid is completely fucked and has a fucked up relationship with reality for the rest of their life.
Right.
What's what? But all these things in tandem are the Kali Yuga of like, it's coming. It's there.
It's selfishness, right? I mean, what you're looking at is like these extreme mutated versions of hyper selfishness, you know. That being said, not to keep like dwelling on the
corpse.
Subway necrophile, we don't know the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
So that could have been his friend who's like, dude, I'm gonna die on the subway. I'll be there at midnight. Will you please come? will you please come fuck my dead mouth?
Yeah, yeah.
But the
that's that Kinison joke.
Yeah, I know.
They fuck you when you're dead.
Yeah. Is that really a Kinison joke?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so the what you're talking about is really fascinating to me because, you know, the history of children and new innovations, they always get the short end of the stick, right? Like children working in factories.
Right.
Right? Like whenever there's a new thing, the Industrial Revolution happens, the kids, no one even thought back then. No one thought you shouldn't send your kid to work in a fucking factory where the kids would just fall in.
Yeah, but it's like at the time, what else are kids going to do? Get them out of trouble?
I don't know. What are they kids?
Working in a factory, making friends.
Yeah, you know? Having pals.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see these soot pictures of these soot-covered kids after
ripping
a day.
Ripping cigarettes. They've worked harder in their 8 years than I ever have in my entire life.
In this hell realm environment. And you just realize, like, it's never that great for kids in the sense that it just depends on what. There you go.
Yeah, look at that little guy.
Kids in the
mine. Hey, I'm smoking a pipe. I'm four.
Having a yodel pipe before I go down in the mines. Nothing like the coal down here. Happy
the coal on my face is blacker than any body hair I've yet to grow.
There's the pipe boy again with
his
pickaxe.
That is so funny. The pickaxe weighs more than him. Those are cool. I want to hang out with those kids if I was also a kid. Now I'm realizing I'm older than a kid, and I wish I didn't say that.
But then, so click on the color picture.
That is now.
Well, now we like to imagine that's anything's different. And it's like now we've got these kids digging.
That picture's a little too black and white, if you know what I mean.
Look up child labor and lithium mine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, truly now, it's never been easier to be alive. And at the same time, throughout the world, there's more people enslaved now than ever. There's more child labor than ever. People are living in absolute squalor and suffering now more than ever. But in certain parts of the world, it's like, it's easy, breezy, beautiful cover girl.
Well, you know, like click the kids in the river there with like scooping up mud. To the side, Josh, the very far right. Like, you see that picture that's up there? France 24.
Josh, are you high?
No, it's not. It's like, it's got to be frustrating. You see, that. Just click on any of the pictures. Who cares? People know what I'm talking about. For those of you listening, it's just what you expect. It's kids digging around in some horrific place. Anyway, the point is, the Kali Yuga is not quite what people expect because, oh, that's a good picture. What is that? Hey, is that, what is that? A protest? God. Let's click on that protest.
It's a line for a water slide.
Yeah, there you go.
Good God.
Here it is better not to be born. Cobalt mining for big tech is driving child labor deaths in the Congo. So now, if you think about the history of slavery, the idea is you would human traffic these people to pick to do work in the West. Now it works differently. It's, you're not going to call it slavery, even though,
I mean, now in the West, nobody wants to work anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's when the reason why is because the technology that we have that is making life so convenient, that's
being
what's
fueled by these poor fucking children.
It's just because it's like, it's a different model. You can distance yourself from it a little bit, meaning that you can non-ironically post a sanctimonious Instagram message about whatever your environmental message is to the world or your cultural message is to the world, and ignore the fact that there are bits and pieces in your phone that were dredged out of some hell mine by kids in the Congo. And that's the Kali Yuga. The Kali Yuga is, we figured out a way to create a little bubble over here. You don't really see it. It's not like you're going to see CNN, Fox, or anybody being like, and let's cut to our live cam of the lithium mine.
Thank you,
children, for giving us
the
technology.
We've got a four-year-old wearing a GoPro on their head.
Yeah.
Show us what's going on.
Uh-oh, it looks like you fell in a crack. Yeah. Shit, get the GoPro. But this is the, you know, this is the Kali Yuga. And so we're seeing all these horrors that are, I mean, really, like.
But have not these horrors been existing since the dawn of time? And isn't the idea of evolution and expansion to get away from them? I mean, isn't that just evolution to evolve to a point where you don't have to? I mean, anxiety is an evolutionary trait that helped us survive.
Yeah.
And we've gotten away from where we get anxious to let us know that there's a bear near us. And then now we get anxious if we have like an awkward conversation, you know. It's like, isn't that the goal though, to evolve past pain?
No.
But now we're evolving to where our life is easier and it's based off the pain of others. But isn't that something that you can't control?
Well, I think that, so I think in my thinking about this problem, you know, like I'm driving the kid to school today. He's like, do you like flamingos? I'm like, yeah. And I just saw some video of penguins. I'm like, I like penguins too. But I didn't tell him that the video that I saw was on Neil deGrasse Tyson's channel. And he was pointing out, you know, the reason these penguins are so clumsy is because they have no natural predators. There's no natural selection happening on land. They have no natural predators on land. So on land, they'll just waddle up to you. They don't, you know what I mean? They whereas like you see the way squirrels behave.
Aren't penguins predators like seals?
But not on land.
Oh.
So on in the ocean, look at it. Look at a penguin in the ocean. They're fast, sleek, made for the sea.
Yeah.
Because they had to get that way. Because if you're not, you're gonna get fucking eaten.
So I look like a nun.
So that in that narration or commentary he was doing, he's pointing out what we're talking about,
right?
Which is you're if you want clumsy penguins, then make it so that they're completely safe and you're going to get some clumsy fucking penguins via natural selection. You're going to get some clownish, silly birds. And the moment, you know, any kind of new predator emerged there, like, you know, if some asshole, you know, just dropped off a couple of honey badgers or something, a male and female honey badger, that's it for penguins.
Yeah.
They're going to rip through those fucking penguins like,
so we've got to train penguins to mine for lithium.
Bingo!
Yeah.
Now
and we
you gotta
go to Antarctica and start clubbing penguins.
Now you got it.
To train them and give them.
You know
some...
how cool that'd be to look at your phone and be like, a fucking penguin mined this shit for me, and they deserved it because they're slow.
Yeah. Well, clumsy motherfucker.
So, but you know, my kid said, I didn't even mention that shit, and he's like, but sharks eat penguins, and I'm like, yeah, yeah. And he's like, and that's sad. Mm. And then I fucked up initially because I was like, well, I mean, is it sad for the shark? Like, well, shark's probably hungry.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah. And then I thought about it. I'm like, no, you're right. That is sad. What am I doing? I'm trying to create some Machiavellian, like, child here. Like, no, there was this component of sadness in the natural order of things. And how to mitigate that and deal with it without, you know, fucking everything up. In other words, like, what are we going to do? Let's imagine if we had police in Africa, but they were animal police. Mm-hmm. And we made it illegal for the lions to eat gazelle. Mm-hmm. We found a way to create.
To keep the gazelle safe?
To keep the gazelle safe, we discovered a way to easily grow plant-based gazelle meat that we drive around and throw it to the lions. And anytime a lion's about to get a gazelle, we like have some mechanism, a taser, I don't know, to protect the gazelle. You will create fucked up gazelle and fucked up lion the moment you do that.
I wanted to ask, like, when do you introduce the concept of sadness to a child? Because you need sadness to grow. You know, pain is a fertilizer for growth. And it's like, I think what we're seeing is people are living in a safer time now more than ever. And I know people to this day, they've never faced death, like my age. Like, yeah, no one in my life's ever died, you know. And then they're, you know, 48 years old and their grandmother dies at 98 and they're just grief stricken. Like, I can't believe this is it. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, I have a warped view of it because my dad died when I was 8. So I was introduced to like pain early. And it's like, I have a fucked up way of thinking of like, you know, people either have not lived through pain, so they create their own so that they have to then use that as like almost like a stealth empathizer to feel like they are more in touch with things because they've never experienced, you know, outside pain, so they create their own. Or it's these safe people living in a bubble that when they face pain, they don't know how to handle it. Yeah. So like, how do you make your child battle hardened for life?
Okay, only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first, there, the last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue, the $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are softer now more than ever. And they are these gazelles that have been manipulated to where the lion doesn't come after them. And it's like, you need the lions to make the gazelle tougher. You need pain and suffering. You need to be on your own. You need to be walking around and face the world so that it'll harden you for the realities of life later. And I feel like you either have one way of looking at it. Those things make you harder and make you more empathetic and understanding and give you better perspective, or it angers you and makes you have a chip on your shoulder towards the world.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer. I only know what happened to me. And I had that anger for a while and I kind of evolved past it, but it took a while. But is that not life? The struggle and the battling your way through to get to the other side?
Well,
I also have a myopic view of it. I can only see things through my eyes.
Well, and once you get in the dead dad club, you know, you live in a different world. Like once you, and it is a designer, like there's a designer reality that people live in. And the designer reality is based on whatever the algorithm is serving you. So, and whatever your social media platform is, and whatever algorithm they're using, it produces a designer style reality for you where you, via the algorithm, have filtered out some infinite amount of content and zoomed in on some other bit of content. And then if you look at the ecosystem of the modern human, and by ecosystem, I mean like that, the habitat. And I don't just mean physical habitat. I think now we can argue the digital space is a physical habitat. Mm-hmm. So you see, we roam in certain meadows, I guess you could say. And so what I've noticed across the board is that in general, most of the habitat that we're in does not address mortality in the way you would expect a mortal species to address it. So we know there's death. We hear about death on the news. We make love to corpses on the subway from time to time. Yeah. But we don't seem, until you actually encounter it firsthand, it's very easy to live in a bubble where you don't really think you're immortal. But via not really addressing the fact that something supersedes all the cultural machinations that you're obsessed with. Mm-hmm. And that is that in some uncertain moment, someone you love or you are going to drop dead. Mm-hmm. And until you really address that as much as you can bear, then you will be a wobbly penguin. Just that. And I don't think humans need people chasing them in the streets or anything to become like fully human, but we already have the most incredible predator in the universe, death. It's a modular predator. It might come as an aneurysm, a heart attack. You might get beaten to death, stabbed to death, set on fire. The sun might supernova, nuclear, but the list goes on and on and on. But via ignoring that, you think that you are being positive, or that you it's a maudlin thing to stare that in the eye, when in reality that thing is the evolutionary force that you must address if you really want to live. And that's why Neem Karoli Baba would say, love everyone, serve everyone, remember God. But some people think that he actually meant love everyone, serve everyone, remember you're going to die. And that we carry death on our shoulder, meaning that you must live in the consciousness of how precious human life is and how at any second it could go away.
Yeah. And Dave Matthews said, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Dude, I can't show it. I would show you my new tattoo, but again, the media mobs, I can't show my ball. Because I have ridiculous. On my remaining testicle, I have that tattooed.
I love that.
Very small tattoo.
I would like to read it like Braille.
Dude, it is Braille. That's a great idea. Holy shit, I wonder if I could get some kind of Braille implant on my remaining testicle that says,
eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And Dave Matthews Band also said, don't drink the water. And it's like, well, you can't pick and choose. Am I going to drink the water and die? Or
he meant piss. Ah. Eat, drink, and be, eat shit, drink
well,
piss.
I'm out on that. I already went against that today.
Yeah, you got it.
Well, I live in this pocket of like, I struggle with it because, again, like you're talking about the natural predator of death. And I feel like, and I'm just looking through the guise of like annoying whites. I look at like annoying whites and they don't have a lot of death facing them head on.
You think it's just the whites?
Well, I feel like it's this twofold thing where a lot of whites look at conflict throughout the world and they're like, this is happening in death. But because they haven't had death face them face to face, nose to nose, they look at these other deaths as, you know, this horrific thing, and it's horrible. And it is. But at the same time, if you've dealt with like real death and real like face to face trauma, you're like, hey, shit happens. Like, if anything, you learn that it's out of your control, empathize, but also like there's really nothing like you can do but change the environment around you. And then I look to like, you know, inner city blacks, and it's just so fucking heartbreaking that because they are faced with so many horrific traumas and deaths from an early age, and just like the systems have been around them, they end up becoming like dead-eyed nihilists, to where it's like, yeah, nothing matters. And they realize in the education system, they're just pawns. So it's like, why am I going to do anything but just not give a fuck? And then you're seeing kids younger and younger be disaffected and then act out in a way that, like, I mean, dude, all the fucking murders and shootings in New York are like young kids.
Yeah.
And also they're smart, and they know that once they turn 18, all the charges drop because everything gets kicked up to child court.
Right.
And it just pisses me off that, you know, people will be in an uproar about, you know, X, Y, and Z going on in another country. It's like, I guess because maybe I taught and I see like the faces of the kids I taught on all these kids that are being affected by gang violence in every city. And it's like, nobody's screaming out for these poor fucking kids. And I think a lot of it is like, well, I'm not allowed to speak on that because I'm not that race and I might get in trouble. But it's like, that's so fucking heartbreaking. But everybody cares about what happens to like brown kids in another country. But when it happens to black kids in ours, they're like, well, I'm not going to touch that.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is a horrific thing that's going on right now.
Yeah.
And it seems like people get in an uproar every once in a while. But then when like legitimate tragedy is happening at their back door, they're like, well, there's nothing really I can do.
Well, you know, there's people just don't have community anymore. And
yeah.
And you know, if you've ever been to like a Burning Man, you realize the horror of war in the reverse, because you see like why people get really like addicted to war, and why when people come back from a war, they're like, what the fuck? This isn't even life. Mm-hmm. Because one thing that's happening when you're at war is community. This intense life or death connections happening with the people around you. You're experiencing the amazing thing that can happen, where, and you see it in sports too. You see like when you're watching like an incredible basketball team, mm-hmm. and you realize, oh, that's not one person, that's a group mind. You're looking at a super organism made up of a bunch of different people. They're practically telepathic,
synced up and like working together. Yeah.
And that must feel incredible too. That the feeling of being part of that must be amazing. And so humans are, we do that. That's one of the things we do when we're in groups, is we congeal into a group mind. Mm-hmm. And so that, in that experience, when it's positive, is transcendent. It's you realize like, oh my God, there's not much of a separation between me and you. And so when you're looking at like the violent forms that takes, I think really what you're seeing is like, you know, what else is being offered here? Like, people are going to be magnetized towards something real.
Mm-hmm.
And it must feel real to be in a gang. It must feel real. And you get the experience of living in something that feels more like reality than the synthetic, you know, padded, nerfed kind of corpo reality that is being sold to people as reality. And so I get it.
I think a lot of community comes from this like desire for a pat on the back, or just like a parent's love, you know, in the sense of like, you know, a lot of, you know, gangs or whatever. It's like, you're coming from a single family home, and there's a group of guys that are like, hey, do this and I'll be proud of you. And it's like, okay. Like, I think everybody is just, maybe again, it's through my lens, but I think everybody throughout their life is just searching for some form of community and reinforcement of being loved. And instead of feeling like the words of I love you comes from different forms of action. Like being involved in an online community, you get that affirmation through like a like or a share, like, and a lot of times it's negative, but it's still that reinforcement of, you know, if you're like all shitting on something, that is a net positive because you're all working together to shit on this one thing, even though the thing you're doing is negative. And it's just reinforcement of like, you're liked, you're welcome.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of finding your community, but finding a positive community. And that's so much harder than finding the base negative and then bonding over that. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. And where I get woo woo with this line of thinking is that, you know, fine, you found a community, you found a people who like, I don't know, collect stamps or whatever, crochet or whatever the fuck it is. And that's fine. But I feel like that going back to what we were talking about earlier, which is if you want to look at the real They Live reality that we're in, you remember They Live?
Yeah.
You put the glasses on, you could see what they like.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Eat, consume. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So you catch a glimpse of that, anyone will. But you don't want to believe that could be true. You don't want to believe that you're just
a manipulated herd animal. Cog, yeah.
Yeah. So you seek the solace of something that would, instead of deny that is happening, make that seem okay to deal with the cognitive dissonance. Mm-hmm. And so to get back to being a happy consumer versus a paranoid consumer, someone mm-hmm. who's like, something doesn't seem quite right here. And so those communities like that will form. But I think that step number one is stop ignoring the reality of things, even though you don't have to tell anyone you're thinking these things, by the way. In fact, maybe it's better not to. Mm-hmm. But if you've caught that glimpse, that's good. Don't be afraid. But then step two would be a simple question. Is this all there is?
Mm.
Is there just these mortal, easily manipulated beings on the planet that are being puppeteered mm-hmm. by increasingly effective technological propaganda to step in line and harmonize in a way that's safe for the power structures that exist? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? Is it? And then that's where you go into nihilism. And actually, nihilism serves that force more than anything, because if really that's all there is, if there's nothing after this, nothing before it, then fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Get what you can while mm-hmm. you're here. Profit, fucking enjoy. And because really
you're just a
mode of sentient meat floating in the void of space, blah, 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 blah. In this mode of thinking, well, who does it serve? It serves oil companies. Because mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, fuck the environment. Who cares about anything? What the fuck? Yeah. None of this matters anyway. What the fuck?
Well, wasn't that like the 80s? They had no forward thinking. It was just like now, now, now.
Greed is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now we're suffering all the consequences.
So I think if you can successfully argue that we live in a godless void, and I'm not saying you need a theistic point of view to have any kind of humanist morality, but it doesn't hurt. But if you can successfully argue that, then I think the next question becomes, well, then what is the idea here? What's the point of this thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so somewhere along the line, some version of hedonism takes precedent over service, over helping, most importantly, it's like having this incredible Wi-Fi connection in your brain, which is the connection to the transcendent metaphysical super intelligence that I think all of this stuff exploded from, and not using it. So if you're not picking up the phone, there won't be a next step for you other than like trying to scratch an itch in the wrong place. And that is buying shit, getting those likes, fucking as much as you possibly can. All the things we all try to do. It's great. I say go for it. I tried. And it does distract you for sure. And it'll create a lot of drama to distract you even more. And that's really good. If you don't want to confront the reality of your inevitable annihilation, what better than eating someone's ass for a few hours on MDMA and then getting an argument with them after about how you don't listen? That's... You know, man.
Yeah.
So to me, I think step one is a deep, honest, non-public internal interrogation, asking yourself, is there anything other than me? Is there a higher intelligence? And then reach out to that. And then via that, something else will start happening that you can't predict. And then that leads you into certain situations and communities that have a focus not on the temporary, mm-hmm. fleeting, transient, worldly phenomena and on something else. And there's so many different forms of that out there.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is where you start really experiencing the kind of liberation you are seeking in all the other forms.
Well, that what you just mentioned and spoke about, that's like the main tenet of, and I'm just going to say it because I think it's important to make people aware that there's a place to go that's better, but that is like the main tenet of Alcoholics Anonymous and programs of recovery. Yeah. That is exactly the backbone of all of that, is to get out of self, privately look with a clean lens at all of the garbage and everything that's going on, cleanse yourself of it with the higher purpose of helping someone else the same. And in that, that's like the main goal of AA is to maintain a conscious contact with a higher power. And that's just some that turns people off and people go, God, no, I can't. But it's almost like that higher power is that higher form of consciousness of living every moment in the now and taking in and figuring out, how can I take this moment to serve someone else? And that's so hard to do because of all these distractions. And sometimes you grab it and you hold on to it and it feels so good, but then it's so fleeting, but you almost have to let it flow through you and then, how can I do this again? And that's like, I never feel better than when I'm helping someone else. And when I am not talking about me and not obsessing about me and not obsessing about that, but when I'm in this moment and I almost like, dude, when I was teaching and I was explaining something and like it clicked with a student, I would get this chill from the tip of my toes to the top of my head. And I got that feeling when I would take my first sip of alcohol. And I got that feeling when I would, you know, when you like rip a new tag on a joke on stage or like something comes out the right way. Sure. And I would get that same feeling. And I get that same feeling when I help someone else and we make that connection. And I think the goal is to always maintain that connection. But in order to do that, you have to rip out all this sludge and get rid of those distractions. But what you just said is like so important and the goal, but it's so hard because you have all these outside influences. But if you can like block them off and then maintain that conscious contact with a higher being, higher purpose, higher feeling, I think that is like, I never feel better than when that's going on. And I always feel better when I leave a meeting than when I walked into it. Absolutely. And I want with my stand up for people to leave feeling better than when they came to the show. And I feel like those are things when I feel it and I grab onto it, I feel infinite. And then it slips through my hands and I concentrate on the fact that it went away, but it's like, it'll always come back.
Yeah.
It'll always come back. But I feel like that's such a better service of time to be constantly trying to bring it back to the now and not now me, but now you.
Yes.
How can I serve this? How can I serve that? Like being around you is such a joy because you immediately bring it to the other person with like you can feel this energy. And this is such a little thing, but I'll never forget one of the first times we were texting, you used a bunch of exclamation points to show like excitement.
Yeah.
And I was like, this feels good. I can understand that they're excited and I believe that they're excited.
Yeah.
And so now I try to do that. And it's not what you can take away, but what you can bring.
Yeah.
And I try to bring a good energy, but then on the other hand, when I'm alone, I like just sulk and I need to work on having that when I'm alone, because when I'm alone is when I'm in a bad way.
Yeah.
But when I'm around others, I feel like so good. And I've looked to you for how to do that.
Thanks.
Because I see the energy you bring to other people.
Well, thank you, man.
And also your constant search for consciousness and contact with something out there rather than self.
I'm going to tell you a quick story. This is a dream I had. So I was walking on the beach with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first, last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Keep back. Basically, like, I was hurting really bad, and I call the story Footprints. I was hurting really bad, and I was looking back at the footprints from when I was hurting really bad, and I only saw one set of footprints. Where was Jesus's footprints, right? And so then ran into Jesus up the beach, and I'm like, hey, you know, when I was feeling really bad, I noticed that you seemed to have split because I only saw one set of footprints. And Jesus said to me, actually, those were my footprints because I was carrying you. And I said, well, honestly, though, if we go back and do a forensic analysis of the two sets of footprints, you'll see I'm a 10 and a half. And the other set of footprints, which is yours, are a 12.
Thank God, you just turned it to funny. And, after I went off on this fucking stupid diatribe.
No, I love your no. I'm going to get back to it. Now, listen, this is important. Ian, this is important.
Sorry, so, my pants are hiked
up. I said to Jesus.
Yes.
Now,
what'd you say to Jesus?
Well, I said, let's take a look at these footprints. And I had some of my friends come out from the movie industry. We did molds. And I was able to prove verifiably yes. that, in fact, those were my feet.
This is quite a dream.
Those were my feet, not Jesus's feet. I was walking alone, and it appeared. I'm like, so you were gaslighting me?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm God.
Yeah.
I split you into two people, and you carried yourself. And I woke up weeping.
Ah.
You know, and from that dream, I learned something.
Yes.
Sometimes Jesus has the same size shoes as me. And but Ian,
and he wears Nike Monarchs. Air Monarchs.
Yes. I do thank you for saying that, and it means the world to me. And my feeling these days is that that people everyone looks at the world. There's so many people who are so sad right now, and they're so
justifiably so.
Yes, but I understand why, and it's not just the set of phenomena; it's the nihilism. It's mm-hmm.
Could you call it narcissistic nihilism?
I think nihilism and narcissism go like peanut butter and jelly. It's like, again, delicious. If like we're going to live in an empty, and it is delicious, mm-hmm. but if we're going to live in an empty, like if we're going to live in a void of consumerism and you are fully certain of this, then what else do you have but yourself?
Mm.
And why wouldn't you worship yourself? It's the only thing you're making contact with in this infinite void, and so of course all the things that we look at and feel bad about in other people, when you really sort of trace that, we follow it upstream, you realize, well, everyone is being just bombarded with data that has an agenda, and the agenda is inevitably based on some state model or some corpo model that's trying to get you to act in a certain way to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it's like, look at the stock market. Oh my God. Do you know who Abby Hoffman is? Will you look up Abby Hoffman activist? This is one of the funniest.
Oh, I thought this was the girl from Love on the Spectrum.
Dude, I've got to watch it.
Bro,
is it good?
It is so heartwarming and wonderful, and I want the love that they experience with each other. It's such an innocent, joyful. Whoa, what's this?
That's Abby Hoffman. He is this social activist, and so one of the most amazing things I've ever heard of anyone doing is a form of activism. He went to the New York Stock Exchange, and he dumped bags of money onto the traders. So all of a sudden in the New York Stock Exchange, money's falling down. The traders stop trading to grab the money falling out of the air. And he literally, for a few minutes, shuts down the New York Stock Exchange by dumping money on it. And so that level of culture jamming to me is so brilliant because it's pointing out that this is idolatry, and nobody wants to talk about this, it seems like, because we want to believe we don't live in an age where people worship idols. But I can't think of a more incredible modern deity than the New York Stock Exchange. It's a temple. In the morning at temples, what do? Ding and ding and ding. They ring a bell. At night, they ding and ding and ding.
They have the golden bull. Wasn't that in the Bible?
Yes. Yes.
Like,
it's a temple. Yeah. It's a temple. And within the temple, there's a god. And the god, if the god turns green, everyone's happy. If the god turns red, people will literally kill themselves for the god. They'll jump out, just like people used to throw themselves under the wheels of fucking massive carts carrying deities, just like the Aztecs did. Everyone loves to think we're so modern. When when the deity turns red,
you are
people
dead.
Try to fly, baby. They jump and they shoot and they poison themselves because the deity is red.
Did his deity turn red because he killed himself?
Well, did he?
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't know, but
did he? But bad guy.
Come on, don't you know I love him so much, friend of mine? But this is like so
interesting.
So this is a roundabout way of saying, like, if you don't like the word idolatry because it sounds antiquated, think in terms of fast food. If you're eating shitty food, you're going to get sick over time. If you're eating like 7-Eleven hot dogs for 6 months straight, I can't even imagine.
I would if I was in Norway. They have the best 7-Eleven hot dogs in Norway. Bergen, Norway.
Is that true?
Shout out. Yes. Thought it was a joke. When I toured Europe, everyone was like, you have to eat the 7-Eleven hot dog.
Can you pull up 7-Eleven hot dog Norway?
It's what they're known for. It's
you
crazy.
You are blown. That is not, I am
I thought
sorry.
It was a prank. I thought it was like, go to the 7-Eleven in Norway, ask for a hot dog, you do it, and then the
dude,
sprinklers
come out.
Dude,
this is like someone
out.
Saying there's faster than light travel.
There
it's
is.
It's not possible.
Let's go to Norway now.
Well.
Yep.
So I'm curious, based on the size of the hot dog, the man's penis, bigger or smaller, the one that you defiled?
Well, why don't I show you?
No.
Okay. All right, sorry.
Okay, in Norway, 7-Eleven is a common place to buy hot dogs, often special offers. AI had to write the poor AI. It's if it's sentient. Imagine being sentient and you have to like
Dude,
do it.
Type in, are 7-Eleven hot dogs good in Norway?
I don't buy it. There's only one way to find out, too. You can't, like, have one of those shipped. Yes! 7-Eleven hot dogs in Norway are generally considered good and popular. How? Dude.
I don't know.
You know when you walk into a 7-Eleven, and I don't blame anybody working at a 7-Eleven for not keeping up with the hot dogs, but you walk in there and one's been rolling too long.
Oh, yeah.
And there's that smell of burning hot dog rolling on that fucking thing.
It ain't good.
It ain't good. But that to me is the, you know, upstream problem right now is that people have been eating 7-Eleven hot dogs, which is whatever, you know, the is being slopped out.
Oh, yeah.
And in that story, a new kind of religion emerges where the self becomes the nexus point of all importance, which obviously this is a catastrophic philosophy if we live in a world with other people, but it's exactly what cancer cells think. You know, it's like, it's all about me, baby. I got an idea. Hey,
hey, I'm going to innovate a new way to do this liver thing. Hey, check it out. And then, you know, next thing you know, you got tumors because some fucking cancer cell wanted
made it
to
all
be
about
a
them. Yeah.
Yes. And so, you know, in the small and in the big, it's a fucked up mode of being.
We're basically a cancer.
Well, it's a way to become a cancerous thing.
Right.
And in the same way that if you have managed to cut yourself off completely from the totality of all things of which you're a part, if you don't recognize you're part of a universal superorganism, then the cancer cell also has no, if the cancer cell could think, it's not thinking like, I think this is going to fuck up this body that I'm part of.
No, it's like, hey, check out this reel I just put up.
Yeah,
look at this content.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That's cancer, it. Cancer turns your body into a content house for tumors. That's what it does.
Cancer would most definitely take selfies if it could.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't need to get an MRI. You just go to its TikTok and it's like, look at this new one I made. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Cancer's doing TikTok dances while your body's rotting.
Yeah. That's cool. And that thing I've always loved about AA and the 12-step program is that it's like an emergent spiritual lineage born from what in the old days I think you would call demonic possession, but it's an antidote to the possession.
Well, it's like this spiritual experience. And that's what you talked about. The goal is to have this like experience. And that's the goal, to have this like spiritual experience that then you're constantly searching for by doing the thing that got you there, which is to go through this house cleaning and then this helping of other people clean their houses. But also at the same time, it's like people use psychedelics to experience the same thing. And so it's like, I struggle with whatever way you get there is good, or like, no, you have to do it this way, you know, like, but I think the goal is to have that experience to then understand that your purpose is not you, it's for others.
What do you mean you struggle with it?
Well, I struggle with like, you know, like when people are, they're like, oh, I'm sober, but they like smoke weed, or they're like, oh, I'm sober, but I do psychedelics to like get me, you know, XYZ. And I'm like, no, you should be sober and go through this through a spiritual experience, through the work. You're taking a shortcut. But then if you look at the history of AA, Bill Wilson, you know, did acid to have this experience. And then he based this work off of searching for that spiritual experience he got through acid.
Yeah.
So it's like, who the fuck am I? I have my way and I fail at it a lot. And I'm constantly trying to do it. And I'm constantly falling short. And then maybe it's a part of jealousy where I'm like, oh, fuck, I wish I could just do acid and get it. But I'm too worried that if I were to step out and do a psychedelic that I'd go off on a fucking bad way, you know?
Yeah.
And so maybe I always look at like, what am I disliking and why? And it always goes back to me. I'm disliking something that you're doing because I see it in me and I'm doing like a kind of blaming something else rather than looking at me and going, oh, I need to fix a thing that I don't like in you. And instead I'm just focusing on what I don't like.
Okay. Only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first, there, the last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think...
like everything I hate, I think I see in myself, and it's easier just to point the blame than to,
you know,
look at myself and go, fuck, I exhibit that trait.
I've had sober friends. I've had sober friends in the program, knowing my love for psychedelics, who have, you know, reached out to me almost like they want me to give them permission to take a psychedelic.
Yeah.
And I always say, like, if you feel like there's like a 1% chance that this gets you back to the you that I knew when you were dying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah.
Like that, it's a sort of risk to reward thing. You're
totally.
You're sober now. You somehow climbed out of a pit. And when anyone who's had a friend gets sucked into that pit.
Yeah.
It's the most, it's definitely on par with watching someone die of cancer or something.
Yeah.
It's maybe more annoying.
Yeah, but also with cancer, you can go, hey, I'll go with you to chemo to address this. Hey,
yeah,
let's go to the doctor. Hey, you recognize your body's falling apart. You know that you're going to go get treatment. But with alcoholism and addiction, you're like, hey, I see this thing that is hurting and I know a way for you to get help. And they're like, no. Get the fuck away from me.
Right.
I'm not going to do this.
That's the
it's
demon.
Like you can take a horse of water, but you can't force it to stop shooting heroin.
Yeah, I tried. Yeah. I've tried.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Dude, what's so awful when you have your horses get on heroin, dude?
It's terrible.
It's their horrible ride.
Yeah.
They fall asleep on the trail.
They nod out.
But you, if someone dying from most other diseases, you don't have to call them and be like, did you steal my car?
Yeah,
I'm pretty
yeah.
sure you stole my car.
Yeah.
But so you know, I always say, dude, talk to your sponsor about this
yeah,
one,
yeah.
man. This is not like I'm
or
not,
just like your sober network. You
and
know?
That's a very addicty thing.
I'll kick ideas around them, like my friends that are sober, and they're like, are you stupid? Like, no, don't do that. Like the last thing was like, I think I'm going to, I haven't taken my meds in a little bit. And I think I'm going to stop. This is not good. I like the way I'm feeling. I'm like, dude, take a step back, go back on your meds. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that. And generally, like one of the qualities of addiction behavior is you want to blame someone else. And so
yeah, but also it's, you want to be in the director's chair. You want everything to be you. I'm choosing, I'm doing this,
yeah.
I'm doing that, you know? One of the best things I ever heard in a meeting, and I cackled and everyone looked at me like I was crazy. Some guy goes, if I'm not working on myself, you know what my favorite song is? Me, 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 me.
Oh, yeah. God, it's the worst. It's the worst.
Me.
Yeah, well, and this is the...
But I sorry to cut you off, but I dude, during the pandemic, things got really fucking bad for me, and I looked into mushroom therapy. And the place I found was like, so you get the mushrooms, you do them, and then we talk about your experience. And
fuck
I was like,
off.
Hell no. I thought I was going to be in a room on mushrooms with a therapist, like talking me through this. You're leaving me left to my own devices. I get to go get a bag. I get to do
That's
it.
The most
and then I tell you about
business
it.
Model ever in my
I know,
life.
I know. And they're like, here's a number you can call to get the mushrooms.
Go get candy. Like,
oh,
yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
But, you know, all that being said, I think, you know, because I have diabetes and I had to get on Ozempic for the actual reason. And, you know, seeing how whatever the fuck this is doing didn't just make it so my blood sugar got back to normal, but that also the addictive eating patterns I had just went away.
Mm.
Like, you know, it's Lent. My family's off sugar, which is really hilarious for a diabetic because they're like, just a couple more days and
yeah,
we can
yeah,
have
yeah.
some cake. And I'm like, oh, great. Wow. Good job. Did you make it a month? I'll die if I eat that shit.
Yeah.
But
that's how I am when people do Sober October. I'm like,
oh exactly.
Is it tough?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I make that joke, but the reality is like, I don't care as much anymore. Like I can look at Oreos, Skittles, cake and not really have the, like, you know, when there's cookies at the house, like there'd be some part of my mind that it knew exactly where they were in the pantry.
Mm-hmm.
And I would look at
the
cookies and I'm like, oh, you're going to make it like maybe a day.
Oh yeah.
And so to see how, a lot of the guilt and shame and shit that people who overeat that I was feeling seems to be mitigated by something by a medicine.
Mm-hmm.
That somehow this fucking thing is actually it just reminds me of when I was a kid. I see it with my kids. You know what they'll do? They'll just stop eating.
Mm.
They'll leave, you know, they'll eat until they're full. And they're like, I don't want to eat anymore. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you should eat some more because you're going to be hungry. No, I'm not hungry. And that's how people are supposed to be. But that goes away.
Right.
And you eat even, you the signals go away to tell you you're full. And then, so when you, and this is the new conversation around Ozempic and all the, that whole class of drugs, is that this is a neurological issue. Mm-hmm. That we've been like, you fat fucking piece of shit. Why do you eat all that fucking cake, you stupid? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you don't understand. Their brain is telling them they're hungry.
Well, especially because everything they put in the food is definitely manipulating that as well. I mean, we all have millions of microplastics in our balls now. It's like, I fucking, when I die, it'd be better to recycle me than to put me in the ground.
Dude, isn't that wild? You know? And the brain.
Yeah.
It's showing up in the brain.
Oh, yeah. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
You know, we're being poisoned at every single turn in our lives, whether it's mentally, spiritually, physically, everything is poisoning us. And everything we put in our body is not just content of food. It's content of, ideas and content of
content.
And it's like, dude, you got to filter out that fucking poison.
As above, so below. It's like you see physical manifestations of cultural trends, and I can't think of a better embodiment of the disintegration of community and culture than plastic showing up in our brains, our balls, our everywhere. Right? It's that is the physical manifestation of a.
Oh, I got to get some microplastics.
Hold on. Oh, yeah, me too. Jesus Christ. Yeah, so that leaves us with what I think is the number one job right now. First, do the analysis. Don't listen to us idiots yapping about this. Do the analysis yourself. Watch They Live. You know, do the analysis.
Invest in sunglasses.
Invest in fucking sunglasses. Do the analysis. And then if you've already done the analysis and you're feeling nihilistic from the analysis, which is the unfortunate.
Walk around with a shotgun and shoot people you think are aliens.
I'm working up to that,
sorry.
Well, no. Well, the subway fucking necrophile. You know, I think that's your AA training, because you just got to the point. I meander, and you're like, dude, just get to the fucking point. You know what we have to do. There's a war. There's aliens. They look like humans. Joking.
Yeah. Like a dead man's penis in my pocket. It's a joke.
There is a cock in his pocket. It's just not dead.
Dude, there was a kid in, like, fourth grade who would cut a hole in his pocket, and his girlfriend would come up and jerk his dick off at the water fountain.
Wow.
I thought that was so cool.
Wow.
And you know what happened? The kid's dead now.
From what? Fluoride in the water.
Put him on a bad path.
Send him down a bad path.
Yeah.
That's how what he thought life was going to be like.
Mm-hmm. If you're getting jerked off in fourth grade, it's like, you. What else is there? You've already reached peak.
You're never going to be able to.
Yeah.
You're never going to be able to go to a water fountain without getting an erection. He's got the weirdest fetish of all fucking time.
He's just going up to the airport to get that water in the bottle, and he's just like, oh, I'm going to bust.
Why do you have a water fountain in your bedroom? I just get thirsty at night.
Why do you carry around a Camel backpack and you're going to bars? This is weird.
No, I'm not going to tattoo a water fountain on my feet. Why do you want me to do that? Ian, you're the best, man.
You're the best.
Wrap it up. Moon Tower, you got shows coming up.
Oh,
no
man,
doubt.
Yeah, I'm everywhere, man. I'm on the road till...
You're working your ass off, dude.
Yeah.
You got so many fucking dates.
Yeah,
let's spit some of them out.
Man, I am in Philly May 16th and 17th. I am in Rochester May 8th and 10th. The 22nd, I am in Charleston, South Carolina. Then I'm in Atlanta the 23rd and 24th. I'm all over ianfidance.com.
So funny. You're Beanie so funny.
Being with Jordan is a podcast out every Wednesday on YouTube.
Which is killing it, by the way.
Yeah, it's really fun, man. I'd love for you to come and do it in New York.
Dude, I'd love to. Yeah. I love your podcast.
And thanks.
The algorithm loves your podcast because it's always showing me your podcast. It's really cool. I love it when
it's
working.
It's working.
Plastic goods.
Yes, plastic goods.
awesome.
I love you, buddy.
Thank you. That was Ian Fidance, everybody. Go to his shows. The link to his podcast is going to be in the comments, wherever you find this. And I love you, and I'll see you next week. Until then, Hare Krishna. Bye.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Google Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Okay, only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first, there, the last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.